Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, and welcome to the Cookbook Circle podcast. I'm Victoria.
And I'm Hannah.
And simply put, we review cookbooks. We take one book for each episode and both cook a couple of dishes, then discuss what we liked, more likely what we didn't like, and give it a rating out of 5. Like all the best recipes, it's pretty simple.
And if you love what we do, we're now on Patreon. This means if you'd like to support us, your subscription will help cover the podcast costs from the books themselves, the ingredients of what we cook, and in return you'll get some fun stuff. To find out more, visit our website, thecookbookcircle.com, or you can find the link in our show notes. Thanks, friends. Now for the podcast.
Hannah.
Boom. Hi, Victoria. This is how we do it now.
Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Welcome to the Cookbook Circle.
Yeah, we're going to get copyrighted for that. You've got to be careful.
What? Montel Jordan is going to come out of his like little cave.
Why is he in a cave?
Because if he hasn't been in a cave, I want to know where he's been and why he hasn't been making more bangers like that one.
You okay?
No, apparently not. I'm fine. How you doing? It's hot, man.
Yeah, we're in another heat wave. Sorry if this is boring for everyone. Like, all our Australian listeners are like, yeah, right, mate. Is it 25 degrees over there?
Ooh, little poor British and Irish people. Little weaklings.
I am a weakling. I'd like to move to Norway if anybody wishes to move me. I can do many things. It's cold in Norway, isn't it?
I don't know. What are you going to do up there? Why Norway?
I don't know. Work for Noma? That's in Copenhagen, which is in Denmark. But I'm sure you can commute. Anyway.
Well, you know, we did something exciting for the Cookbook Circle this week.
We did. Tell us, Hannah, what the exciting thing is.
We launched our Patreon.
Patreon.
What is Patreon, I hear you ask? Patreon.
Hannah, what is Patreon?
Thank you. We rehearsed this, Vic. God damn it.
Sorry, I lost my script.
Yeah, it's all right. Patreon is a means to support us and to support the podcast that we love dearly, like our own child. Not Marcus, he's your child, but this is our child. Patreon is a subscription platform that means that you can pay a certain amount per month and get some, well, there's two tiers for us.
Like a wedding cake.
Yes.
We're saving the top tier for our firstborn child, the podcast. Wow.
It's been a long day. It's 8 o'clock, guys.
We didn't rehearse that analogy. You might. Sorry, there's two tiers.
So the first tier is just if you like what we do and you want to give us a little bit of cashola every month to support what we do. Because, Vic, we don't run this podcast for free, do we?
We do not.
It comes at a cost.
Books ain't cheap.
Ingredients.
Galangal. Shit from Amazon.
Pecans that you couldn't afford in Ravneet's episode.
And pine nuts.
Pine nuts, all of the peanuts. We pay fees for like the website and the
we do
to record, etc. So All that to say, we love what we do. We don't mind paying for that stuff. But if you want to support us, then you can pay that £1 a month tier that just helps us out a little bit. Or else, there's a £3 tier that comes with a few little bonus features.
Cheeky little business.
Exciting little things. Little canapes, little amuse-bouches.
Oh, amuse-bouche. Ooh, hors d'oeuvres.
Yeah, amuse-bouche.
A little cheese and pineapple on a stick.
it's so nice for you all to witness both of our mental breakdowns once again. You get some a bonus little episode a month. Get the recipes from each of the podcasts emailed to you so that you don't have to go mooching around if you hear something delicious that we talk about. And we're going to throw some other fun stuff in there.
Yeah, too. And eventually, soon, we're going to set up a little community hub, aren't we? You circlets can talk to other circlets about food, recipes, share books, whatever. And we will chat shit with you in there, which I am very excited about. Because I know that you all want to have my shit chatted with you every day.
Well, from someone who speaks shit with Vic every single day, I can say it's good shit chat.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Where can, if I was so inclined to sign up to become a Patreon subscriber, where might I be able to do that?
You can go to our website, thecookbookcircle.com. There's a little tab there saying support us on Patreon. Or you can join via Instagram. There's a link in our bio as well. Whatever you want to do, whatever way you want to do it.
Will we also put it in the show notes?
We should also put it in the show notes. That's a good idea.
It'll also be in the show notes.
It will be in the show notes. We can confirm. This just in. We can confirm. It'll be in the show notes. That's our little push for the show.
Thank you. If you've already become a Patreon subscriber, that's so cool.
Yeah, some of you have, and thank you so much. We are eternally grateful. This is the one time we'll put our cynicism and snarkiness aside and be like, thanks, pals. We like you.
Yeah, we love you. And we endeavour to create the good shit for you.
Yes.
Whether or not you sign up to Patreon, frankly.
True. Yeah, just for listening. You know who else I love? Mm-hmm. Look at that segue.
Anyone else? You.
Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, me too.
We both have recently watched Roadrunner, right? I don't think we should talk about this for too long because actually I felt quite sad watching it.
I really cried at the end.
I cried my eyes out. For anyone who hasn't seen it, it was the documentary, I think it's Morgan Neville. It came out like last year, I think. There was some controversy. Peak Irish. Controversy around it because they AI'd his voice reading out some like excerpts from letters or diaries or whatever, and people were like, is that ethical? I actually couldn't tell those parts, could you? I guess that's the beauty of
AI. Which is I guess where the
ethics lies. But apart from that, it kind of traces, it picks up when he was just in Leal in New York and writing Kitchen Confidential, and has some old footage from when he's really young, and then just goes from there about how his like career progressed and his personal life, and just how he became more of a, like, he by the end it wasn't even just like a food presenter, right? He was like a travel presenter, and he covered war-torn areas and everything, you know, the US and its kind of role to play in world stuff, and just the general sadness of a lot of the countries that he went to weighed heavily on him. So yeah, it's not the lightest watch in the world, but if you've read Kitchen Confidential and you love it, him, then I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I feel like if you've ever enjoyed anything that he's done, then it's worth a watch. Just because, I think that also being in the UK, we love Anthony Bourdain, we appreciate his work, but I don't think the impact and how famous and how, just impactful he was came across in the same way. Oh my God. Mercy, I didn't even know you were there. She's just about to...
I just got a close-up view of Vic's cat's furry little butt.
You need to let her out the door.
Bye, Mosey. That cat lurks in that room. I've worked from that room, and she just like watched me work like a little
arched little back, like stretching up over my monitor.
Such a little weirdo.
She's tripping balls. I gave her some catnip earlier. So
she's what?
She's tripping balls. I gave her some catnip. I bought her a new toy that had some catnip, so I gave her some.
I thought you said she's dripping balls. I don't know which is worse.
Anyway, sorry.
Yes, watch it.
Watch it, but be in a decent frame of mind to do so, because it's rough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it goes a little bit too hard at the end on Asia, his girlfriend, his wife, girlfriend.
Yeah, I didn't really realize that situation. But anyway, yes, watch it and, you know, we can talk about it on Instagram and see if other people have watched it and what they thought.
We should do a thing on Kitchen Confidential for Patreon, shouldn't we?
That would be fun. Did you ever watch the series, the Bradley Cooper series that they did on it?
No.
As in, it was like a fiction, it was like a dramatic TV series, but it was based on Kitchen Confidential.
No, but I just watched that film.
Burnt.
Yes, that's just come on Netflix recently, and I watched that not so long ago.
Patreon, we should do some of these like foodie films and books and stuff. Yeah. Actually, that would be really fun.
But that is not the book we're talking about today.
No, it's not. What are we talking about?
We are talking about Hetty McKinnon and her book To Asia with Love.
Not to be confused with the Bond film From Russia with Love, which didn't have as much food.
Oh my God.
I said this at the end of the last episode, but I strongly feel, and I strongly remember that this was a big suggestion from a lot of our Aussie friends. They're big fans. Yeah. Big fans.
I believe I can fly.
No, R. Kelly's persona non grata.
Yeah, sorry. He's out. I was introduced to Hetty by you.
Oh. I said, Victoria, this is Hetty. Hetty, this is Victoria.
We have not met, unfortunately. I think we get on like a house on fire.
You would love her.
Would I?
No. I think so. You know, you guys have a lot of common love of noodles. Did I introduce you to her?
Yeah, you just met. I don't know how it came up, but I remember you were talking about her a couple of times, and she kept coming up in comments from listeners as well. And so I went and followed her.
Does this make me an influencer?
I think so, yeah.
Cool. Been waiting.
Yeah, I'll get you some YouTube ads. Hannah's putting her thumb off at me. She's currently coughing. You okay?
Yes, everything's fine. Thank you.
Shall I tell you a little bit about Hetty in this book?
Yes, please. Por favor. S'il vous plaît. Moshe the Hele.
Wow.
Hit me with Hetty.
Okay. So I think the reason probably that a lot of our Australian listeners love her and know about her is that she is Australian. She's a Sydney born chef. She is currently resides in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, don't they all? Did Molly Baz live in Brooklyn?
Probably.
Oh, I feel like maybe our next chef might live in Brooklyn too.
Oh God.
It's the place to be, Brooklyn.
It is the place to be. Sounds expensive. So she's Sydney born. She has got three children.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Impressive.
Yeah.
Godspeed. Yeah.
Jesus. What else do I have to say about her? That's it. So on to the...
And then our shortest podcast yet. Let's rate.
We're rating out of children. So her food, her journey to writing many books.
So sorry. I will let you finish a sentence soon. Yeah. Tell me you're on her journey.
Just like to tell you that we usually record first thing in the morning, and it's an evening time. It's an evening time. It's a Wednesday evening in high summer. And that may be the reason for the quality of this podcast. So she is Sydney born. Three children, lives in Brooklyn. She's really interesting, journey to this book and beyond. This book and beyond. Her parents emigrated from China to Sydney. And so she grew up eating really, she talks about this in the book, but I read loads of articles with her where she's like really, really traditional, like Cantonese food. So lots of pork, she talks about tripe, spam, cooking spam on top of rice.
Is that traditional? Like spam? What?
Yeah, I think that spam has a real special place in a lot of, particularly Korean, I think, culture. And she's not Korean, but...
That's interesting. I feel like it's having a moment on some stuff I see on Instagram. Yeah. This annoying guy. You would hate him because he runs his knife over the crispy foods. And that's like Vic's pet hate. I think he's a cook named Matt or something. But he keeps doing shit with spam. And I'm like, what is happening? No, put it in the time capsule and fucking forget that shit.
My secret shame is that I like it.
Oh, do you?
Mm.
Okay, tell me why.
Well, it's just like salty, you know, like meat, like hammy. I know that's not your thing, like hammy, salty, like all everything you want from like a bit of a, like a dirty, I don't want to say dirty, it's not the right word, you know, like greasy.
Yeah, gotcha.
Kind of snack food. And this, I think, you know, straight out of the can, absolutely, I don't want to eat it. But like you see it in a lot of, probably in that guy's videos and like in a lot of like the Asian cooking and how I've eaten it, like deep fried and then in like a rice ball or like she talks about at some point cooking spam on top of rice because all the juices and like salt go into the rice and like I guess that might be delicious.
Yeah, that would be good. Okay. Okay. I get it. You're allowed. That's fine.
Thanks.
No problem.
So
that's where our family is.
So in a little tangent about spam there.
A spam gent. Yes, that was bad.
No, it was great. And she also talks about because she is living in Australia, she got into barbecues and like she says that, I'm not just saying that. It's not a stereotypical thing. Like she was eating a lot of barbecues. It was like a thing that they did to celebrate and that's obviously a lot of meat.
Yes. I wonder if you can barbecue spam.
I bet you can. Well, on a little griddle, you know, char lines in it.
Yeah.
I feel like this is going to come back to haunt me.
Was it like when we said we didn't know why Molly Baz was wearing a tuna necklace and everyone told us that the name of her weenie dog was Tuna?
No, I mean, I don't think that, well, come at me. We had a whole lecture during my master's about spam, right? And its kind of cultural significance. And, you know, it was widely in that lecture by the teacher and said, oh, it's gross, it's gross. And I was like, I like it. Like, shut up. Everyone,
I don't think that's going to come back at you. It's a bit of snobbery, surely, to not like it, right? Because it's cheap.
Oh, absolutely.
We don't like snobs. Yeah. Snobs are not welcome around here. No, no, no.
Go away, snobbies. God. Anyway, less about me and life. Mine's boring. Hers is interesting. So she was eating all this meat stuff and then when she was growing up and then like she talks about when she was a teenager, like suddenly she's going to all these barbecues and like the smell went from really being delicious to really being like, oh, like she didn't like it. She was like, oh, and she would really go off the meat and she wouldn't be interested in eating the meat. And then she says she read this article about veal production and then she was like, I'm never eating meat again, which, you know, I get it. But that, you know, obviously is tough in a household that like does. I mean, you've been to Japan and you know, other Asian countries, and like, you know, the kind of a vegetarian doesn't I think now it's probably better, but like it doesn't or didn't compute. And she talks about how her mom would try and sneak in like things like jellyfish and like
the sneakiest of the fishes.
Yeah, and so, but she was like, no, I'm not. But, she had to cook for herself, obviously, because her parents were not going to cook her vegetarian vegetarian food. That was what it was in her house. So she started cooking her own food, but she, like, really couldn't find much good vegetarian like recipes. So she said she cooked like lentil loaves and like burger, you know, beanie burgers and things like that. And she was like, this is like crap. And then I saw her mention some of our good friends, Ottolenghi, Sam and Sam Clark.
Oh, hi guys.
Hi guys.
How are you doing back there in season one?
Books, like their recipes, their books, all these other like, you know, modern chefs that are doing amazing things with vegetables. And she was like, whoa, I can do these amazing things with vegetables. So she started cooking more, and that's how she like learned to be, you know, a good cook, I guess, a good good at working with vegetables. And from that, she started to kind of put her own take on things. She kind of missed the flavors of her like childhood and her culture, right. And so that's how she got into cooking like Asian food with vegetables. She's also, I don't know if you saw this and when you're looking for it, she's like really passionate about salad, and I guess that aren't we all?
By name of the week, passionate about salad.
That's her first book, but also her first like food venture. She like in Sydney, she would she had like a salad delivery service, and so every week she talks about dreaming up these salads and then deliver them on her bike.
That's so cute.
To her neighborhood, and I think from that came her first book, which is called
You Petty Don't Remember
Salad.
The Salad Book, An Ode to Salads.
Close.
Salad Stories.
It's Neighborhood, Salad, Sweets and Stories from Home and Abroad.
Wow.
Neighborhood for sure.
Cute.
Yeah, so I think that war went to that. So that was called The Arthur Street Kitchen. And I think possibly that's still going now.
Love that.
In Sydney, and also way ahead of her time, because I feel like every other new cookbook I see at the moment is about salad.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that was back in like 2017 she released that.
I don't know. I guess because there's a lot of shit salads out there, right? Like, you know, people are very unimaginative.
Oh yeah.
But then also I think that some people play fast and loose with the term salad, like pasta salad, not a salad. It's not a salad. Potato salad is okay. We'll let that one go.
I feel like we've been here, haven't we?
I'm bringing it back. Top the agenda.
Do the Italians. there's a place in LA that does a salad. I don't know what the salad is called, but it's famous for making women go into labor. And they have like a book at this restaurant where if you came and eat the salad and then went into labor, you have to go and sign a book. And it's got like, I saw it on TikTok when I was heavily pregnant.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It's kind of alarming. I don't know how I feel about
it. Right there. It's not like, right, you like consume two scoops and then that's it. The baby comes out in the restaurant. I think, you know, 6 to 12 hours later or something.
Wow.
I don't know the exact timing.
Interesting. I thought it was a curry.
Well, that's what they say.
Okay.
Curry. Pineapple.
That wasn't, as far as I'm aware,
wasn't Hetty Salad. She has three more books after that, including this one.
Wow.
One called Community, which is an Australian classic. One called Family, New Vegetable Classics to Comfort and Nourish. And then this one, To Asia with Love. And she just this week announced a new book, Tender Heart.
Oh, fun.
A book about vegetables and unbreakable family bonds.
Jesus. So this one's very much breaking the mold in terms of title then. It doesn't have a little one word.
Yeah. Whatever. She writes for New York Times, Cooking. You see a lot of her recipes on there. Bon Appetit, Epicurious. She's written for The Guardian, ABC Every Day. Not, she doesn't write for ABC Every Day. ABC Every Day is a brand. Yeah, and she also is the editor of a journal called Peddler, a multicultural food journal. Easy for me to say.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. Website at least. Yeah, I think you probably, if you see the like picture of it, you definitely would. So she's all over the place. And she's so active. I know I said at the end of the last episode that I thought she got famous on the internet, but I don't think that's the case. I think she's just very active and brilliant on Instagram. She got popular, I think, from writing these brilliant books and her salad delivery service. But then she just is really good at Instagram.
Yeah, can't relate.
Yeah, same.
I do follow Peddler on Instagram, though, I've just realised, so that's why I go. Yeah, I like the photos in this book are very beautiful, so I can imagine that she gives good Instagram.
Well, on this book, she did all those photos herself. In the beginning, she's like, look, if this is like about my home cooking and my family's cooking, whatever, I feel like it's best for me to do the pictures in my home.
Wow, they're beautiful.
Yeah, really beautiful. She says her dad was an amateur photographer, so she kind of knows about composition and film and stuff like that. So yeah, they are really beautiful. Her crockery is also really beautiful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I like Hetty. I like her style.
Yeah. And I think the style of this book, we can talk about our first impressions of it, but it's just like, just to go back to the book, not strictly Chinese. She calls it Asian-ish, like a meeting of Western and Eastern cultures. And then like she talks a lot about like a third culture. So trying to find that mix, that perfect medium between like where she is now and where her family came from and mixing all together, but also making it plant-based or, you know, vegetable led, because it's not a vegan cookbook, but it has a lot of vegan recipes and a lot of gluten-free recipes.
And gluten-free.
But it does have eggs and things and milk and things like that, but she has really good substitutes for a lot of that stuff, which is great.
Love that. At the bottom of every recipe there's substitute, or sometimes a veganize if it's not a vegan recipe, and she'll just tell you what to replace or sub in, which is handy Hetty.
It's what did you think of this book? Also, it's James Beard Award nominated this year, by the way.
Oh, interesting. I want to know more about James Beard. Who was he?
Well, I don't think he belongs on this season. Maybe next one.
I was very, very excited by this book. It was obviously because it's veggie and you get a bit stuck in a rut with a lot of what you make as a veggie person, and a lot of the recipes are just very, you know, one page, like three paragraph descriptions, not too intimidating. And I just loved it. I thought it was great. The photos are beautiful. There's like big explanations about like noodles and like how to stock your like Asian pantry and different kind of, she has a lot of like flavored oils, which do creep up in the recipes themselves, but I made a couple of them for the recipes, and they're just like lovely things to have in your fridge or your cupboard, because I find myself just putting them on loads of stuff now, which I guess is the point, but it's just like, oh, so much flavor. And yeah, I was very excited by it. There was tons of stuff I wanted to make, and the flavors are all kind of, you know, interesting, and it's quite everything feels quite fresh and light and healthy, and what you want to eat in summer, right? When it's not a lot of heavy crap in here, and
nothing is too difficult as far as the ones that I looked at, like the ones I cooked and the ones I looked at cooking, like nothing is hard.
No, there's a section on like making your own noodles, right? Which, I mean, I didn't do. I would love to do. I've made noodles before and I'm bad at it, but I enjoy the practice. But like, even so, she still just tells you in all the recipes what other noodles you can use. You don't need to home make them. There's no big projects in here. I feel it's very everyday.
Which I guess comes from her like being a mom of three kids and also having a really busy life as a cook and recipe writer, and like, you know, smashing out these great books. It's so good.
It feels very like modern Asian.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm not, I know we made this comparison at the end of the Rav episode as well, but it's not dissimilar to Mira Soda's East, I guess, in terms of that kind of quick, delicious, great veggie vegan food with, you know, Asian inspirations or roots.
Yeah. I reckon the difference that you would find if you had them both is that this has the beginning section is a lot about like, how to stock your Asian pantry, like what, like those oils that you were talking about. She has a goes with everything section, which has got things like jammy eggs and bring on your pancakes and things like that. Like a real like explanation almost of what is Asian food and what you can expect from the different like flavor. And like, she also, isn't there a section about like what, like how to cook Asian? She talks about like stack your pantry, yes, and explore umami and all this stuff. So, you know, she doesn't assume that you know what gochujang is, yes, or what miso is or how that works in a recipe. And
yeah,
but she's good at kind of explaining it.
Yeah, just loved it.
Yeah, love it. What did you cook?
What did I cook?
Hannah.
I cooked three things.
Three?
But I feel like this is, you know, when we make three things, it's because we're really excited about the book, yeah, right? And it's because it's like, for me, it wasn't a chore to make that last thing because I was genuinely looking for just an easy, quick veggie dinner. And I was like, oh, shit, I've got this book on my table, so I'm sure I'll find something there. Which makes me think that I'm going to come back to it again and again.
And so many of the things I looked at making, I was like, oh, I've got literally everything of that in the house right now.
Yes! Which was this...
Which is...
Amazing. Great. The first thing that I made was that. So it was the tomato and egg rice noodles.
Ooh, yeah.
Tomato and egg. I don't know. You know, initially I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about them together, but...
Like a shakshuka?
Yeah, yeah.
Not like baked, I suppose.
Yeah, you have to... You boil the... Very quickly boil the tomatoes to get the skins off. And then you kind of chop up the flesh. So that's about the most labour-intensive part of it, to be honest.
Chop up the flesh is a good band name.
Chop up the flesh. It would have to be like, you know, hard metal though, like... Wah.
The flesh.
They'd be at Woodstock 99 that we've both been watching on Netflix. As I mentioned in the last episode, I've just moved flat and I've moved to a Crystal Palace, which is a very lovely area but does not have a proper Asian shop. And so a couple of the ingredients were hard to find, including simple old fucking rice noodles for this. So I had to go to the flat ones, you know? I had to go this is like, it's essentially like a hippie shop that smells like incense on the high street. And it's all like, you know, vegan, gluten-free stuff. And they only had brown rice noodles, which I felt sad about because I hate brown pasta and I hate brown rice. But actually, it turns out that brown noodles is the, you know, the best of the bunch. And I couldn't really tell the difference. So all's well that ends well. But yeah, the ingredient list isn't too long for this, which is very refreshing. Tomatoes, eggs, ginger, small onion, brown sugar, the rice noodles, scallions or spring onions, which she bloody loves.
Love a spring onion.
Loves
a spring scallion.
I thought that was a real Irish thing to call it a scallion, but actually, apparently not.
It's, I thought it was an American thing.
That's interesting. Sea salt and white pepper. Again, white pepper.
Loves white pepper.
She's
in everything.
Big fan. So this also, she recommends serving it with her everything oil, which she also loves. Yes.
So
I made that, and that's one of the things that I've been putting on, like, literally everything from just, like, you know, veggies to, like, omelets. And honestly, you could eat it with bread. It's great. That's just an infused vegetable oil that has red chili flakes, Sichuan peppercorns, these Korean red chili flakes that I couldn't find, so I just did more of the normal ones. Sea salt, a ginger, garlic, star anise, and cinnamon stick. And again, I had everything in my spice cupboard, so that just like didn't take any length at all to make. You literally just put it all in a saucepan and then, you know, combine it with the oil.
Boom, boom, shake the room.
And it's delicious. It's quite spicy, but it's really, really good. So to make the noodles, like I said, you boil the tomatoes quickly, take off the skins, and then you beat the eggs, you heat a wok, you pour in the egg, you leave it for like 20 seconds, and you turn off the heat and you move it around to scramble it, so it's not like, you know, too rubbery. It basically just gets cooked. You take that out, and then you put in the same wok. Again, always love anyone who just says, in the same pan, do the thing, because it just tastes washing up. You put in ginger, onion, heat that really quickly, put in the tomato flesh that you've chopped before, and then you just kind of let that cook down for a few minutes. You add in brown sugar, and then you squash the tomato a bit to break it up, and then you put the egg back in with your sea salt and white pepper, of course, and you cook your noodles separately in boiling water. And then you just put the noodles in the bowls and you just put the tomato egg stir fry mix over it and you scatter it with scallions. scallions or spring onions. And then she drizzles over the everything oil.
Nice.
Just a great, really easy, fresh tasting dinner. And it came together so quickly, especially when I had made the everything oil earlier in the day. And I still have tons of that oil in the cupboard. So like, once you make it, you could just make this again and again. And I made the whole recipe, which serves four, and didn't eat it. So then I like brought it for lunch and ate it cold the next day in the office, which felt like quite nice, summery, like, it was just
cold
lovely.
Cold noodles, love them.
You have everything for that in your fridge probably. And if you have noodles in the cupboard, you can just pull that together so quickly and it's delicious.
Yeah, there's no reason you have to use rice noodles, right? You could use
any noodle there.
Yeah. What?
Yes.
Are her substitutes? Can you use tin tomatoes?
Oh, she actually doesn't have any substitutes for that one, interestingly. Tut tut, Hetty. Let's just slide down.
I guess the thing with a tin tomato in that situation is it's a bit rich, isn't it? Like you want that fresh kind of.
Yeah, it tasted very fresh. That's what it was almost like a noodle salad.
Yeah, you don't want it to be a pasta sauce, right?
Yeah.
You
want it to be it didn't like coat the noodles or anything. Everything was quite, you know, held its own. But it was lovely. I would just definitely think about making that quickly, after work or whatever again. So that was a really good one. The next thing I made, again, I just happened to have all the ingredients for this in the fridge as like leftovers from other stuff. But it was the crispy tofu and cilantro balls.
I was hoping that you made something with tofu because I didn't. And there's so much tofu in this book.
There's so much of it. There's like,
I feel like my tofu confidence is low. So that's maybe why I didn't. And also I feel like good quality tofu is hard to find. Good tofu
is hard to find.
Anyway, tell us about your crispy tofu.
There's a couple of things in here that I feel like I need to work up to in terms of that tofu thing. You know, there's a lot of recipes with like a block of silken tofu and then just stuff on top. Yeah. And I don't know if I'm there yet, but I'm trying. Bear with me.
Yeah, like is there like a panna cotta or something? Yeah. And you're like, no.
I'm not sure. Hold my hand.
Can I put everything all on this?
So this came together really quickly as well. I had some tofu in the fridge. I had coriander in the fridge. I had spring onions in the fridge, probably from the last recipe, and ginger, probably from the last recipe. Five spice powder features quite prevalently in this. Eggs, cornstarch, vegetable oil, and then you make this quick five spice aioli to dip the balls in. Just a little bit of mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, five spice powder, sriracha, and garlic clove grated. And that's your little dippy aioli. Alioli.
Oh, I love that.
Aioli. Your aioli. Sorry.
On five spice, I just need to tell a story about me for a moment.
Sorry, had it been a while.
I, as you know, but probably if you're listening, you don't. I had my kitchen renovated recently, but we're not talking about that right now. But in that, obviously, went through my spices. And when I was putting them back in, I had exactly three jars of Chinese five spice.
You had 15 spice?
Could I find mixed herbs? No. But I had three jars of Chinese five spice.
Wow. I was introduced to putting five spice into like cakes by my old bread baking colleague Nicole in Brunswick East, and I think I put it on like I used it in icing for like a walnut cake or something, and it was good. Five spice in sweet stuff is really, really, really good.
It's like a star anise in, hasn't it? So it's that kind of
really underrated. And it, like, I feel like it's very important in this recipe because with the tofu, it needs, you know, as we know, tofu is like fine but a bit bland, so it needs that flavor. So you basically like mush it all together. Tofu, you squish it up in a bowl, Then you add in your cilantro, your scallions, your ginger, your five spice, and eggs. You mix it all up with the potato starch or the cornstarch, and then season it, and then you just shape it into, she says golf ball-sized balls, which I feel is too much of a standard metric, considering many of us have never fucking played golf in our life. But anyway, I just went with what I thought was a normal-sized ball.
I'll buy a golf ball so you can compare.
I'll keep it in my kitchen. Just hanging up on a cupboard or something.
I have a golf ball because somebody gave us one when Marcus was born, like in his gift bag, and we're not sure if it was like a thing, like because it was one of his granddad's friends, and it's like, is that like a, because they play golf, or is it was an accident? To just drop it in there on the way out, so you can have that.
He's still looking for his golf ball. Yes. Wow, and that's weird. Maybe he wants him to be like a little Tiger Woods, or you know, someone more respectable. Yeah. Anyway, for the aioli, then you just mix it all together. All the mayonnaise, the five spice, the sriracha, and the garlic clove that's grated, and so you just fry it off the balls then.
Deep fry, shallow fry.
I just gave Vic a really creepy grin after I said that. I'm really sorry. Shallow fry.
How's your neighbor's barbecue going?
I think they hate me.
You just fry off the balls.
They've left.
Fry off the balls.
They're gone. They left a long time ago. They've handed in their notice.
Before you're gonna fry off the balls.
Fry them, and then you eat them.
This is like jazz hand thing where she's like, fry them.
Fry them and then get this. You eat them.
Release the ball.
Whoa. And they are very lovely. I ate them for lunch. I don't know if you need to know what time of day that I ate them.
Wow, you're crazy. Where are you supposed to eat them?
It was so quick. It was also quick and it was very delicious.
All right, you made and ate them in one lunchtime.
I made and ate them in one lunchtime. Yeah, admittedly, I take a leisurely lunch when I'm working from home, but...
Sending this to your boss immediately.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
She says you can veganize them. Moving on. You can veganize them by replacing the egg with flax egg. Flax egg. I don't know why that's funny.
She does have an egg. Does she have an egg alternative section? No, that's in my baby-led weaning books.
It'd be so funny if you came onto this episode and you had made all the recipes from your baby-led weaning book. These were great, and I froze because it made like a dozen balls. Nobody needs a dozen balls. So I...
You're never going to get past the balls.
So I froze a load of them and then have just like intermittently been throwing them into the oven alongside another dinner, and they're great. They heat up really well and they heat really quickly.
Extra little bit of protein with your dinner. I love it.
Yeah.
I love that. They sound great and also fun.
Yeah, they're like, you know, us veggies are very deprived on the meatball front. You have to go like Linda McCartney or, you know, those kind of pre-processed
meat
replacement things. So I feel like they're a nice little alternative. And then the last thing I made, which was a very quick little job, was the roasted Brussels sprouts, chickpeas, and edamame with ginger scallion oil. Again, a scallion. I think I made a ginger spring onion oil for David Chang, actually.
Yeah. That's like the only veggie recipe in the whole book, right?
Yes. And I think this is quite similar. Basically, oh my God, this is another thing. I couldn't find edamame beans around here, which is shocking because this is a very yummy mummy area. I'm pretty sure that's like. So I found these weird things in like an Indian grocery shop, and they were called, hold on, what were they called? I'd never seen them before in my life. Green Pigeon Pete.
Oh.
They're like the poor man's edamame, the like pigeon peas. But they were in a tin, and you're meant to use frozen edamame here. I don't think they were anything like edamame, but they were a bean or a pea. Yeah, so
they were a bean.
Threw them in there, and I think you could probably do that, you know, with anything. So
also, edamame's expensive. And what are you going to do, like shell them? Like all? Because I feel like you buy edamame, don't you, generally, in the
potty things. Yeah. No time to pod. Only this pod, am I right?
I feel like edamame is like a... no pod on this pod.
I only got time for one pod. Yeah, this is all the Brussels sprouts. You trim them and have them. Chickpeas, edamame, beans. And you just put that all on a big old baking pan. Baking pan? Baking tin? Sheet.
You couldn't find edamame, but you found Brussels sprouts in August 20... in August 2020.
I'm a seasonal eater.
Chris, are you going on to that Christmas PR event? So just stealing all the Brussels
stuff in my pockets full of Brussels.
We're not invited to any Christmas PR events, but if you'd like to, we won't steal your Brussels sprouts.
You sprinkle that mix in ground coriander and salt and black pepper this time. Actually, she's branching out. Ooh. You roast it all for like 25 minutes until everything's golden, crispy, whatever. And then you literally just coat it in this ginger scallion oil, which is chopped up spring onions, you'll be shocked to hear, and ginger and vegetable oil, and what else is in there? I feel like that's pretty much it.
Sea salt. She loves sea salt.
Oh, that's it. It's ginger, scallions, gluten-free soy sauce or tamari, sea salt, and vegetable oil. I feel like that one I like less than the chili oil. I mean, it's fine. I've used it a bit, but it's just like not got that kick and it's just a bit whatever. Yeah, and then you just toss the sprout mix in that with some sesame seeds. That's it, basically. You serve it with scallions
and nice.
Coriander. It's a nice little side. And it's a way, you know, yeah, I mean, a lot of people don't have a lot of love for Brussels sprouts. I really like them.
Me too.
Yeah, I think that would be a nice way to liven them up if you're not a big fan. She says you could sub them, the sprouts, with broccoli, cauliflower, or eggplant. And you can sub the chickpeas with lentils, white beans, or butter beans. She doesn't say anything about subbing the edamame with pigeon peas, but I just,
But we are.
Went with that one. So those are my three things, and I just thought they were great. They were quick. They were not labor intensive. I wasn't crying. There were no breakdowns in the kitchen. I'll make them again.
You didn't set the fire alarm off.
No fire alarms. No tiny little spherical biscuits on the bottom of my oven. Delicious.
Love it. Thank
you. What did you make, my friend?
So I made only two things. I had big plans for this book, and life got in the way a little bit. But I made two things, and that's enough. All right,
you are enough.
My two things are enough. So the first thing I made wasn't the first thing, but the thing I made was the shawarma Singapore, I'm doing inverted commas, noodles with corn and cauliflower.
Oh yeah, I don't think I even saw these. How delightful.
Page 83.
Is it getting a lot shawarma over there?
Warming up.
Wow. Swarming up.
I have the boys swarming to my yard after this.
Wow.
So they are, it's like, well, they're Singapore noodles, like traditional, well, they're not traditional, but yes, it is what it is. They're obviously vegan, and they're vegan and gluten-free, actually, because you use rice vermicelli noodles for Singapore noodles.
Right.
But she, so in the, like, her little description of it, she talks about how she was making Singapore noodles one day, and she noticed a jar of shawarma spice nearby, and she was like, fuck it, I'm gonna switch the curry powder out for this and see how it goes, and she said it was delicious and amazing. She also has a recipe for like normal Singapore noodles with like Malaysian curry powder.
Right.
But this one just sounded fun. Like, so you make the shawarma spice, which is a tablespoon of ground cumin, 2 teaspoons of ground coriander, 2 teaspoons of smoked paprika, 2 teaspoons of sea salt. That's a lot for that little, and some black pepper. And you just kind of put that in a little jar and shake it up and boom. That's nice. Your shawarma spice. And this is so easy and lovely and quick. And so you, again, I had like most things. You fry up some onions, like an onion sliced up until they kind of go on the turn, like a bit fragrant. And then you add in some cauliflower that you've kind of cut up into florets and some sea salt, some more salt.
Florets and the machine.
Wow.
Sorry, I'm just sitting here only thinking of puns.
Florets and the Machine is a great name for my vegan restaurant.
I think this...
Not mine. I'm not opening a vegan restaurant.
What, with your spam? Your tins of spam?
You know, I did not long ago get an advert on Instagram for like vegan spam. I'm not even joking you. Like a company that makes like vegan spam. I may have followed them because I was like...
What do they call it? Like shit, like VAM or something crap.
Zam.
Zamen. Sexy.
Zamen. Yeah, you add cauliflower, you cook that up together with some salt, and then you add some corn, which is, she loves in life. And I don't know about this book, but generally in her, I've made a couple of things from her New York Times stuff.
Oh, have you?
And she loves corn like off the cob, like she'd rather you do that than frozen, so she says it's like 2 cobs of corn and garlic, you know, cook that for a couple of minutes, then take that all out of the pan. Mm-hmm. And again, it's the same, like use the same pan, so at the same time you're soaking your rice vermicelli, which I had exactly the same problem as you. I could only get brown rice vermicelli in the supermarket.
Yeah,
anyway, they were fine. So you soak those, and then you put a couple of tablespoons of oil in your pan, and then kind of toast up the spice, the shawarma spice.
Right.
Put your noodles in, coat it in the spice, and then put your vegetables back in, mix it all around. You add some peas. Nice. Some more salt. Some Jesus. White pepper.
Of course.
Of course. Until your peas are cooked, and that's it. And then you serve it. You add scallions and Maggi sauce to the top.
She loves Maggi sauce too.
Yeah, she does. And it's really nice. Like it was really good.
Yeah.
I thought it was really like that those flavours are really lovely. Like the cumin and the paprika, and like that's a really nice flavor to go with like noodles, and it's interesting, and who doesn't love Singapore noodles?
Yeah.
I missed some kind of like
protein or something.
Protein, or like I don't know if it needed something a bit more like soft. I don't know, something. I wanted to add like mayonnaise to it, or like something. Like, I don't know whether it was that or yeah, it I feel like it needed something for me. Like I would have loved it with prawns, which something like that. But we ate loads of it. It because mixed loads, and we had it cold the next day, and it was lovely. Loads of Maggi sauce on it, extra spring. I mean, imagine one of the oils actually would be pretty good.
Yes.
On it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is the thing about... Well, firstly, I think, like, noodles are one of the best things to translate to being eaten cold. Better than, like, pasta and rice and a lot of other, like, potatoes or whatever. But, yeah, I think that a lot of those oils are really handy to have to just elevate those dishes when they're just missing a little bit of something. If they're just feeling a bit too vegetable-y, noodly.
Like, even, like, the... Like, a tofu, like, fried tofu would have been nice in it. Like,
Just a different texture, right?
Yeah, just something. I mean, the cauliflower is nice because obviously it's quite hard still. It's got that like crunch, but not everyone likes cauliflower. But I liked it. Would definitely make something similar again. I'd maybe try her, you know, proper Singapore noodles.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the second thing I made was, and I'm sorry that I've done this twice in a row now, but I made her black sesame and banana loaf.
Oh no, I think that's great. How is that?
Oh my god.
Really?
Step aside, Ravni. This was so good. This was a game changer for me. Like,
wow.
It's vegan.
And gluten free.
and gluten-free, but she uses gluten-free flour, which I don't have. And I feel like we don't run well in the gluten-free flour game in England.
Right.
So I just use normal. She says it's in a substitute, so you can use all-purpose flour, and that's what I did. But otherwise, completely vegan. So it's black sesame seeds, which she says you can take out completely.
Don't do that.
If you want to. I don't know why you'd want to. Yeah.
Sesame's so good.
So good. In every form. She tells this lovely story about how her dad worked for like a banana trader or something. So her house would be full of bananas.
Oh my gosh.
And she didn't appreciate it at the time, but this obviously, you know, harks back to that. Yeah, so you need 75 grams of black sesame seeds. It's quite a lot. It wiped me out of sesame seeds. She says you can use white ones as well, but the black ones, if you can find them, are
a lot of flavor.
They just add something. Like black sesame ice cream is one of my favorite things. Like, it's
so
just so
good. There's some like Japanese patisseries in France, in Paris, that do loads of black sesame, and they'll fill like eclairs with black sesame cream and stuff, and it's just incredible. I just love it as a flavor.
Yeah, so good. So you kind of whiz those up in the old mini chopper. Probably didn't.
Hey, is this the first time you've mentioned your mini chopper this season? Someone ring the bell.
No.
Producer that doesn't exist, ring the bell.
What should we call our fake producer?
The invisible Benito.
No.
Oh, that's an off menu. Shout out.
Shout out. Yeah, it's really easy. It's just, I had bananas.
Stephen didn't eat one this time.
No, thank God. It's an all-in-one. So it's 225 grams of flour, baking powder, baking soda, 5 ripe bananas, which is quite a lot.
Yeah.
But it means it's just very moist and lovely.
Yes.
And great. It's 4 for the cake and then 1 to lie on top.
Oh, I love that.
Coconut oil.
Oh, nice.
So half a cup, 125 mils of coconut oil, the same again of oat or soy milk, vanilla, brown sugar. Boom.
Bish, bash, bosh.
Wazzy, wazzy, woo, woo. Put it in with the, you know, that thing on the top.
That thing being a banana.
Along with your, yeah.
Get up off that thing and put it on your banana bread.
Honestly, it was so good. It was so good. And I feel like, if I had better black sesames, for some reason, I feel like they were a bit less tasteful than they usually are. Probably just because they were
making like dirty jokes in the corner or something.
Ew.
Be happy with the smushy little black sesame seeds that you have. They bring their own little quality.
Oh, but no, so moist, so banana-y, just bang on, and vegan,
yeah.
Really quick, stuff you'd also, if you've got bananas and you've got black sesame, you've probably got everything that you need in this one.
And I think that the coconut oil probably brings something there as well, that probably complements the sesame flavour nicely as well, right?
Yeah, all about it. I think that if we can find this online and you want to make a nice, I feel like Banana Bread obviously had its moment, and it's obviously having a moment with me, but it is always good and everyone always likes it. But yeah, amazing. Love you, Hetty. We'll make this a million times, probably.
Nice. So maybe that's you. That's your banana bread. You've reached your banana bread peak.
I think
now.
That's my banana bread. Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything that you would have liked to have cooked that you didn't?
Yes, loads. I want to have a go at making the noodles.
Yes, me too.
I've only handmade noodles before, and it's been my boy Yotam's recipe, so I feel like Hetty has a bit more authority on that, and it would be nice to try hers. The spicy sesame tantan men ramen, again, because it's sesame, and I just love all things sesame. Oh my God, I had so many pages turned down. Banh mi salad.
Yes, 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 yes.
Love a banh mi. And you sent this to me on Instagram, didn't you? That it's like one of the best recipes from this book. Someone had posted about it.
Yeah.
So would love to give that a go. Dumplings I have never made from scratch, and I'd love a little go. I'd love a little go at that.
Yes. I feel like we've not talked really about the dumplings, and dumplings are my favourite thing in the whole world. I would never, I don't think I've had time or the patience to make the dumpling wrappers, but if I'd been able to find dumpling wrappers, I would have loved to have done those. Like, she's got like potato and leek mommels, is it? And she has like seasonal just dumplings, and she like suggests a thing for every season, believe it or not. which would be great.
Yeah. Also the Hong Kong scrambled egg sandwich. She does it.
Yes! Oh my god. Sorry.
Because, you know, I loved the egg sandwiches in Japan with the kind of like slightly like sweet bread and the...
Yeah.
It's just this like perfectly uniform, like white filling and between the bread, and it's just great. So I'd love to have a go at that. She does, yeah, she does it with a side of milk tea, which I might pass on, but
yeah,
I think that would be really fun.
I read that recipe and I was like, soy sauce and scrambled eggs, never thought about it. Yeah, but that is a game changer. Like, I would love that.
And evaporated milk.
Yeah, I feel like that's...
How do you feel about that?
Like, it could be very sweet, but soy sauce and scrambled...
It might be countered by the soy sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about you? Anything that you haven't mentioned that you wanted to make?
The spring onion pancake.
Yes, spring onion pancakes.
Yes. You and I both love spring onion pancakes. And I feel like that's what I really wanted to do, and I just never got round to it. I've got loads of spring onions in my fridge, and I'll probably do it before the week is out, to be honest. That I'm actually going to make, and I got all the stuff to do it, but again, I just haven't had time. The miso oats with egg and avocado, and I thought that... Oof. Me and Marcus could eat that together for breakfast.
That's very cute.
I bought some baby stock cubes.
Oh my God.
They've got less salt in them. It's like a savory porridge. So you cook the oats in stock instead of milk.
Marcus is going to be the best fed little baby there ever has been. He's going to rock up to like nursery or creche or whatever and be like, no.
Where's my scallion
pancake? Where's my miso porridge with avocado?
It's true.
Mummy doesn't make it like this. The orange chiffon cake looks like those big cakes you get in the Chinatown bakeries that are...
Yes.
Yeah, so good.
So good. Oh my god, I miss Chinatown Bakery. The kimchi and mushroom sausage rolls.
Yeah, inspired.
Yeah,
yes.
Great, love that. They look really easy as well, frankly.
It's just so good.
It's just great.
So good.
I don't know if the James Beard award has gone, but it should win for whatever it's nominated.
Yeah, Mr. Beard.
It's great.
If you're listening. Jimmy Beard. Stole it on out to Hetty.
Jimmy.
Jimmy.
I feel like it's not going to be a shock, but yeah, should we rate this one?
Shall we rate? Sure. Okay. Very quickly. Super quickly. Time me. Timer. I'm going to explain the rating system. We rate.
Have you ever listened to the ICYMI podcast and they do super speed download and they have 30 seconds to describe like an internet phenomenon or like piece of gossip, and they have to speak really quickly, and they're like, they tell you to like put your podcast speed down to like 0.7 or something.
I don't feel like we would do very well at that, because we like a tangent, a spangent, and we like to shite on a little bit. Rating system. Every episode we rate the book that we've cooked from. We rate out of 5 criteria. These are usability and accessibility. That's one. Are the recipes easy to read and follow, and so on? Ingredients used. Are they things that you'd have to hand, things that you can find? Aesthetics. Does it look nice? Is it veggie friendly? Yes or no? And lastly, is it... the last criteria is inspirability.
And that's your issues with inspirability.
I just like fucking it up at this point. It took everything to not be like inspirability. And we change what we rate out of based on the chef or the book and what comes up again and again and again, or something that strikes us. So in this instance, because we might have mentioned, but she uses this a lot, we're going to rate Hetty's book out of white pepper. Could have been scallions either. Couldn't it?
Could have been scallions. Could be scallions and white pepper.
White peppery scallions? I'm getting the feeling Vic doesn't like that idea.
White peppery scallions? No, we can do white peppery scallions.
So, Vic, I think we do white pepper and scallions. How many white pepper and scallions are you going to give to Asia with Love?
White pepper and scallions is my new
whoopass
name of my dogs.
For your what?
my two dogs. This is my dog White Pepper and this is my dog Scallion. Scallion is a great name for a dog or cat, just saying. So usability and accessibility, I'm giving it one. Like we said, very usable, accessible, good for weeknight cooking, no like project cooks. I mean, I guess maybe dumplings would probably be a bit of a project, but she doesn't say you have to make your own noodles, like you said. You don't have to make your own dumpling wrappers. You buy them and just, you know, do whatever you want. So that gets a one. Ingredients. Now.
I'm
giving it one.
Now.
I'm giving it a point. However, I could have taken half off because there's a lot of things in her like Asian pantry section that I would struggle to find. And, you know, you might struggle to find or get. But I feel like in the bulk of the recipes that, you know, in the book, you wouldn't. So it's getting one. Wow, that was a great sentence. Aesthetics. Yes, it's beautiful. Gets one from me. Is it veggie friendly? Not sure.
Not a sniff of meat. Not a sniff of anything animal.
And I feel very inspired as always. So it's getting 5 white pepper and scallions out of 5 white pepper and scallions from me.
This almost never happens
this season.
Wow, yeah. That's
big shock. Vicky gives a 5
Asian book.
An Asian cook.
For a second, Vic's got a pen in her hand, but I thought it was a chopstick for a second. And I thought that would have been really apt for this record, scratching her forehead with this chopstick.
Doesn't she love, is it this book? Mixing things with chopsticks.
Yeah.
She really wants you to mix everything with chopsticks.
Yeah, I don't have any in this chat yet.
No. I'll send you some.
Okay, thanks. Can you send me some like tinfoil and shit too? Because I still haven't got that either from the last episode.
Can you send you a Tesco voucher?
Help me, I'm poor. rating. Me. It's my turn. Yes. This is my turn.
How do you rate this book out of 5 white pepper and scallions, Hannah?
This is my moment. Usability and accessibility. That's 1 point from me. I am going to dock 1/2 for ingredients used.
Oh, spoilsful.
Sauce heady, but you know. The yummy mummy heights of Crystal Palace just couldn't stretch to rice noodles and stuff, so I feel like I just need to there, so I'm sorry.
Brown rice is bad, just to say, I agree with you.
Why? Life is too short for brown pasta and brown rice and all that stuff. Aesthetics. 1, I really like it. It has a nice, like, clean, white, fresh look.
Like a pepper.
Like a white pepper. Or the base of a scallion. Veggie friendly, obviously. Yeah. And I was very inspired. I think next to East or whatever, it's one of those books that I've just been very excited to flick through, and it's been hard to pick what to make, and you've not been put off by like major processes or anything. So
major
it's 4.5
processes.
No major processes here, thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't know I was gonna work for with you. Can you give me a list of the major processes in this project?
I've been doing some blue sky thinking. I've decided to give it 4.5 white pepper and scallions out of 5. Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lordy.
Next book. Next book, please.
Thanks to Hetty for that.
Thank you, Hetty.
Next book. Hetty. We're staying in Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
We think.
Yes, good point.
It's Brooklyn Beckham's book.
It is boil an egg. Put the bread in the toaster.
Get someone else to boil an egg for you. It is Alison Roman.
Alison Roman. Here she is. Oh, we've all been waiting.
We have all been waiting. We are doing something a little bit different, aren't we? Next week? Next episode? We're doing something a little bit different.
I heard we were doing something different next episode. We are doing something different next episode.
I'm quitting. There'll be a new host.
And it's Alison Roman.
She's really fallen from grace. And she's
Roman ruins.
Oh, wow. I've not made one good joke this whole episode, and you've just been on fire, and I think it's great.
It's only shit puns only. That's a sign that, like, a neon sign that I need in my flat.
Shit puns only. That's my bakery.
Gets all of top buns, like, thrown out discounts.
Yeah, it's like the Greggs discount store. Anyway,
right, so what we're doing that is different.
So Alison Roman has two books currently out.
Yes.
One called Dining In and one called Nothing Fancy.
Yeah, and...
We're doing one each.
We're doing one each. This is big for us.
That's my excited mouth.
We're not sure what that looks like yet.
Stay tuned.
But bear with, you're going to get two books for the price of one, pals. This is good. So we're very excited. Mine arrived today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have things to say, I think. Watch this space.
I mean, it's Alison Roman. We've all got lots of things to say.
We do. Oh, man, I'm going to have to talk about her at the start. Right, I'll start now. Yeah, release a scroll and it, like, falls down to the ground. No, it'll be great. So we're looking forward to that. Maybe it'll have to be a bumper episode as we both bang on, you know, for an hour each about the book that we've covered.
I'm not going to bang on for an hour. I would just spend an hour interrupting Hannah.
Like I've done to her today. Well, this has been a pleasure.
This has been great. We should do it again sometime. How about in 2 weeks?
Cool. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Sorry for
general
giddiness and life. But this book is great.
Yes, buy it.
Buy it. It's great. Shout out to Hetty, and she has a new book coming out, so buy that one as well, maybe. And if you're still listening and you would like to sign up to our Patreon, please do. You could hear much more of this crap. And we would love you to be there with us as we chat more about cookbooks. And you can recommend stuff for us to chat about in our mini-sodes that go for Patreon
this
as well.
This is the thing, we want to hear from y'all. Thank you for listening, and
see
you
so
in 2 weeks' time.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Cookbook Circle. If you enjoyed it, please do subscribe and leave us a review, as it helps others to find us. You can see how recipes from this episode turned out on our Instagram at Cookbook Circle. And if you make anything from the books we talk about, don't forget to tag us. See you next time. Bye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.